Hello and welcome to the Real Jaws Minute. I'm Jeremy Sternhagen.
I'm Tyson Ferris.
And we are back for part two of our discussion of Jaws 3D.
Yeah, so let's get right into it. So then, yeah, we get fake shark being very fake.
Not moving, except for when it rams into the boat, like something flies out of its mouth. Did you catch that?
I did not catch that.
Like the model shark like breaks when it hits the tank.
Well, it's basically a battering ram. Like, there's not even articulation on in the mouth. Like, it just smashes into the boat.
I think I could shoot a better scene if I went down to the mall, bought a toy shark, and, like, shot it.
It's so funny that you say that. My son has this little gummy, like, silicone Jaws thing that you can put your thumb and your fingers into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little puppet.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll chase me around and go, ah, you know. I go, buddy, I go, that shark that just bit my finger in your 3-year-old hand is more believable than any of the sharks in the movie I just watched.
Yeah. It's hard. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we're just spoiled rotten by modern technology, but I don't think so
because I'm comparing it to things of the same year and it's just lazy.
They really could have, like, gotten by this whole movie with, like, shooting. Like, they could have built, like, the world's greatest 6-foot-long shark and did forced perspective and just make a really good little smallish motorized shark and then shoot forced perspective. And shots like that, you don't need a full-size shark. Like, you can shoot a shot like that with a...
I mean, they really made a 35-foot shark. For this, does it ever look that way?
Never once.
And there's the size of what it is.
The scene where he's chasing Fitzroy through the tunnel, which are the best shark shots in the movie.
I would agree with that.
Because it looks real. I mean, it's like it's from the back, and you see like the swimming motion.
That's okay.
Well, we'll get to that.
Other than it is so slow.
So slow. Yes. Well, yeah, and here we have all of our speed ramped real shark stuff right now. So you go from this like ninja shark that can go 100 miles an hour to later in the movie, we have the world's slowest shark.
Yeah.
So when you were watching this at this point in the movie, you must have not known that there were two sharks.
I don't know there's two sharks.
And so were you watching this going like, are you kidding me? We're just going to have like Ron and Valerie Taylor scenes again? Like, or what were you thinking at this point about the shark itself?
I wasn't so much. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, we're actually getting to see shark. I haven't seen any shark so far. So I was like, well, this is interesting. Oh, so we're just going to do a bunch of live shark shots. Okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great.
They make no effort to make it look big. I mean, it actually come like.
It wasn't great.
It looks small. Like, which we later find out it is.
Yeah, it did look small. Anyway,
I love the idea of the dolphins and the humans riding on the dolphins trying to outrun the shark.
That's neat. I like that.
Yes. I like that idea. And then falls off the dolphin and you think, oh, here's a moment where we can have a moment now. And then the dolphin just comes back and get her.
Yeah. It's like completely this false moment. Like,
yeah.
And also she's the one that falls off. She is trainer of dolphin.
Yeah.
She swims like dolphin, speaks like dolphin. You want to talk to dolphin? You talk to her.
And then it just ends with them like
detective for you.
Then. Yeah. And then it ends with them just like popping up by the dock, yelling and climbing up.
Oh, and then they shut the thing and then it smashes itself into the cage.
Like none of this has a reason.
And crumples like a styrofoam cup.
Yes. The fake shark
is
clearly a fake shark.
Yeah. Fake shark being fake.
Being very fake. Again, this is a whole scene. Like, okay, if just on paper in a story treatment, if it's like, okay, they're going to go underwater to check the filtration system.
There's so many of these scenes that just don't go anywhere. Like, not even in a...
The story beats of this movie.
But like... I get they were trying to have shark stuff happen in a shark movie, but then even that doesn't really happen, right?
No. If the story beats of this scene are they learn that the the dead guy. Okay, they learn that they're missing someone. So they have to go underwater in their submarine to check out the filters where his body might have got stuck. They're going to go check everything out and simultaneously figure out, do they have a dead body on their hands? Wherein they get startled by the shark. They have to outrun with the dolphins. And that's a great scene. That's like an action set piece that just could have been so fun to watch. And it just comes off.
The dolphin idea is a great idea. I like it.
Yeah. There is one great shot in this whole scene. And that's when they break the surface and the shark fin is chasing them.
Like with the two other fins, right?
Yeah. That's a great shot.
That's a great shot. Yeah.
And by the way, there's a huge crowd at SeaWorld in the background in that shot, just pointing out in the big thing. Anyway, another lost opportunity. Like, we just think, like, okay, wow, this is building. Oh, wait, it's over?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, that happens about 10 times in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, yay. Oh, it's done.
Yeah. So then we get some more Lewis Gossett. So I think this is where I noticed he's doing like this Cajun accent.
I'm not sure.
He's doing the yeah. Yeah.
I think he's
it's almost only on his hears. He's doing yeah.
If you know Lewis Gossett Jr., that is kind of his way of speaking, but he's like chewing every word in this movie. I think he's just overdoing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's definitely got a
this weird.
We kind of skipped over the beginning of the movie.
But you were talking about with the here, right? Like,
oh yeah, he's making up words. And we also mentioned we kind of skipped over at the beginning of this movie. There's some comment with the press about like, let's not mention his colorful past. You remember that scene?
And are they talking about him, or are they talking about the Australian guy?
No,
I
think it's Lou Gossett Jr. His press manager dude was like, oh, here, we're going to meet Mr. Calvin Bouchard, and let's just not talk about his colorful past. And that never, even if it isn't him, even if they're talking about Fitzroy, it's like, what does that have to, like, it has zero purpose in the story.
I did notice he always has a drink in his hand.
Okay. That's an interesting thing we could talk about, but they don't
He is drinking in every scene.
The movie could have done something with that, and they don't.
So then we get the kill it or keep it discussion.
Mm-hmm.
This is nonsense. This whole scene is just nonsense.
What don't you like about it?
It doesn't track. Like, it's not logical. Like,
who thinks that, like, we're going to kill a shark on camera and people are going to love
And people are going to tune in. Yeah. Oh, man. Like, Saturday night theater, gutting a shark in the water.
What show?
Like, where is this film? Where is this film showing? Where is it?
Yeah.
What?
Tonight, the ABC.
Tonight on ABC, Sunday night. Saturday night shark kill. Like, what are you talking about?
We're going to watch Fitzroy kill a shark at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
Everyone, come to SeaWorld tonight where we're going to murder a shark.
Yeah.
It's going to be
great. They die spectacularly.
Yeah.
He literally says that. And then keep it. That's equally ludicrous because you can't keep great white sharks. They even say that in the movie.
Yeah. Well, she's optimistic that they can figure it out. But
yeah,
sharks in general, this is a sad side story. I was in Las Vegas one time and some casino in there had one of those giant tanks. And there was like, not a great white, obviously, but like, one of their bigger sharks was just laying on the bottom upside down. Like, sharks in, I don't know. I love aquariums, but then, like, for the bigger fish,
I've gone to the Mandalay Bay one with my kid. Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law lives in Vegas.
It's awesome to see them, but it's at the same time, I'm just like, they don't want to be there.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know. Anyway, they seemed fine.
Yeah. It was really sad. I saw a dead shark.
Well, get ready, buddy.
Yeah,
you're about
see
another one.
oh, and then we get our cyanide shot.
Oh yeah. So
or whatever.
So then we go into this next scene. So they have this whole discussion, which is complete nonsense. And then they don't even actually tell us what they're going to go try to do.
Other than get shark.
Well, no, they just like, oh yeah, we'll do. They're like, we got a plan.
Which plan is it?
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. Are you going to go kill it or are you going to keep it? We don't know.
So we kind of find out, if I remember correctly, don't we find out kind of as it's playing out that they want to trap it in that tunnel? Because it ends with honestly, the like live bait. Like
I didn't get what they were trying to do until they were lowering, until the next scene when they're lowering it down into water.
Yeah.
To like keep it alive. I was like, oh, they're capturing it. I literally didn't know through the entire scene if they were trying to kill it or capture it.
Well, that's like a
zero idea.
That's definitely a movie trope that works where you cut to the plan already underway, but then you, through like exposition dialogue or narration, you go, okay, so at 11 p.m. sharp,
but they don't
you distract the guard.
But they don't do that.
Yeah, it's clumsily handled.
It's very clumsy. And then you get the squirt right at the camera with the toxin or whatever. Then you get the grenade discussion. This is where I was like, oh, grenades? Grenades. Really, movie? Really?
Is this your Chekhov's?
Well, yeah, it's Chekhov's grenade for sure. but good God. And I think they think they're being clever, making them yellow.
So at that moment, did you think like
that? Don't you think they're thinking they're clever with the yellow grenades? Yep. I was like, they look like little
at that moment where you're like, okay, I know how the shark dies.
I didn't at that point. I should have. I wasn't giving this movie that much credit. yeah, so basically they go through this whole thing and Louis Gossett at the very end, he's a real Richard Hammond in this. Scene, because he's like, is the footage okay?
Oh yeah.
And I was like,
we're
what?
Fine.
Yeah. Then you get another scene during the day. They're talking about this guy that goes missing. There's
much
screen time for this guy that we barely get to know.
Which guy?
The first victim guy that they're searching for and can't find.
Oh yeah.
And like, there's so much screen time for this guy.
Yeah.
And here's another scene. They're talking about this guy. And it's like, we don't care. Like,
I apologize. I was thinking this was the trap in the tunnel scene with the shark, but it's not.
That's later.
Yeah, sorry. That's why I was thrown off.
No, I did. I heard you say that, but I just kept moving on. So I figured you'd figure it out. So once again, I've like, here we have the scene. And why is Mike responsible for this guy?
Yes.
Like, it's like, I hold you personally responsible. Yeah.
He even told his girlfriend earlier in the movie, like, I'm not his mother or whatever.
Yeah, like, he's just under my employ. Like, I'm not his babysitter. Like, what the hell? Like, I don't know. Yeah, and then basically we go from that to a clogging pig. Yeah, there's like this dance troupe that now all
that
Leah Thompson is part of, and there's like this clogging pig in the middle of it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what is happening?
SeaWorld is really embracing its like floridness in this scene. Like,
there is just weirdness going on here.
Did they just think like half of I would think that like half the people at SeaWorld in Florida at this time were like people flying down from New York or just anywhere. Like most of them aren't from Florida. So they're there to like be entertained. Like, look at all these rednecks. Show us all your redneck jokes. It's got this like Dixieland vibe to it.
Yeah, but it's weird.
It's so. I wonder if this was a genuine thing at SeaWorld at this time, or if this is just some.
It could be. I can't imagine it was.
I like the silver bullets. of their aerial ski tricks.
Those are pretty cool ski tricks, I gotta say.
That shot of from the boat with Fitzroyce filming them, that's a pretty good shot.
Pretty good shot. Yeah. Yep.
It's the most kinetic this movie is in the whole. It's. Like,
it
holy
is,
cow, the camera's moving. Things are happening.
Yeah. And then you get some tweenish girls going down into Jonah and the whale.
Yeah, so the SeaWorld narrator is pitching the Jonah and the whale story as though it's science.
Which is a biblical story.
Yes.
What?
I'm not trying
what
to...
What is happening?
Is that just must be the only other story anyone can relate to in their life about what it's like to be inside a fish.
But then it's like this haunted house fish thing.
Seriously, is this what SeaWorld was? Is this what SeaWorld was?
What is happening? I'm so confused by this sequence.
No wonder I didn't want to go to SeaWorld as a kid.
It's overly biblical. I don't get what that's doing in SeaWorld or this movie. And SeaWorld, I don't have a problem with biblical references. I love Star Wars.
And SeaWorld is trying to apparently promote the idea that things that are underwater are terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, you should be afraid.
You should be afraid.
Why are you even here? Underwater, the underwater world is full of nightmares.
I feel like this is why we have when Crocodile Dundee gets his comeuppance, and we have the shot inside the shark. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're trying to show like a, do you know what I mean? Like, they're trying to cross reference those two things together. Like, oh, we,
what it's like to be inside a fish.
So yeah, it's like, yeah, you're in the belly of the beast, and then we literally later have,
yes,
one of our characters inside. And not only that, we are also inside.
Yeah.
Point of view style. And that is that connection is, is tenuous at best.
I have lots of thoughts on that. We'll get to that.
Anyway.
Oh, and now we get to the, like, apparently you can have a great white shark in a 2-foot deep wading pool where patrons of SeaWorld can just basically be within arm's length of a great white shark. Like, the shark, let's just say the shark was in the tank surviving.
Let's say this was a real thing.
Right.
That was really happening.
How?
This is beyond
stupid.
Stupid.
Mom.
Not only that, it can't see where it's going without being on the surface. So you're going to constantly have it trying, yeah, to look.
And the ledge is like not even a foot, in, like it's 2 feet tall at most.
Yeah.
Anyway, I get that the movie needed this little bit of plot, but holy cow.
Also, in an earlier scene, she's just like rubbing that shark back and forth.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Oh, yeah. Not on shark scales.
Her
fingers would be shredded.
Her whole hand would just be a million razor cuts. Like,
yeah.
There's just, I don't know. They just have stuff. And I know people are going to go, oh, well, yeah, they weren't super factually accurate, but you're making a shark movie. Like, just try a little bit. Just a little bit. Like, I mean, Jaws, we have the shark backing up in that movie, and it's okay
because
we don't care.
Shark backs up in this movie, too.
Oh, boy, do it.
Worth pointing out, so we are now 50.
I would say in an egregious way here, whereas in Jaws, it's just kind of like, okay, well, it backed up. But this is like really, this is like a plot point that it backs up.
Yeah, yeah. It's worth pointing, I don't know why, it's worth pointing out to me that we're at 58 minutes into this movie, and from here to the end of the movie is like more or less playing out in real time.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Isn't it? Or like, it's slightly condensed, but it's pretty much like from here to the end of the movie is like one kind of continuous action set piece. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm missing something, but it...
Well, and then what's the purpose of this dead shark scene?
I don't know. Does it make the mom mad?
Okay, which, not a thing. One, how can it even know that the shark died?
Yeah.
It's not stupid. It's not in the... It's just... I don't know, this was a very Orca moment for me. It got dark.
Yeah.
This had a very Orca vibe here.
Like,
it's depressing and dark.
You want that shark to
live. And it's like, why do we need to be watching this? Like, it's really weird. I don't like it. Anyway.
It's bad.
Yeah.
On that comment I made about real time.
Also, by the way, sharks would sink to the bottom. They're heavier than water. They don't float.
Yes, as I mentioned. Okay, so I mentioned real quick, real time from here to the end of the movie. What I meant to finish that thought was there's no way that's really possible because, okay, you start this scene where you see Sean and Leah Thompson getting in the bumper boats.
Mm-hmm.
While this is happening, they discover the dead body. They fish out the dead body. They go down into the room where they ID the body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the time frame of that, do you think? Like, how long would that take?
To fish him out, I mean, this is a man-made structure, so, I mean, I imagine you could fish him out. I mean, you're looking at about maybe 2 hours or so.
Okay, so that brings me to my point, is that all of that happens.
You'd have to scuttle people, you'd have to get divers down there, pull them up. Get him on the boat, get him all the way back.
Right.
I mean, you're looking an hour and a half, 2 hours. I bet.
So my point is, All of that happens while Sean Brody and Leah Thompson are still on the bumper boats. Did you catch that?
I did not.
Yes.
That's
so
funny.
So they get in the bumper boats.
Well, he does seem like he does not want to be on the bumper boats.
Well,
so that's my whole point, is at the end of that.
He has
been on there like way too long. Like,
the scene at the end of that where he's like, come on, can we just go in? And like, you're just like, geez, what a jerk. But like I said.
He's been on the bumper boats for like an hour and a half.
He's been out there for at least a couple hours.
Yeah.
Because, like I said.
He's like, I got to get rid of this chick.
Find
She's got
the
a
body,
real fetish for bumper boats.
They find the body. They fish out the body. The ambulance arrives. Dennis Quaid and Bess Armstrong go down to the restaurant, talk to Bouchard. The shark is in, the big shark gets in through, anyway, all of this, and they're on the bumper boats. So I just had to point that out.
Yeah.
So, not that it's real.
So the woman, them being overly concerned with Bess's womanly. Delicate senses
about the dead body.
Yeah, it's like, guys, like, she works with killer whales, like,
right.
Calm down. Like, also, he's like a big wiener about it, and like, she's totally fine.
This is like the, you know how Mystery Science Theater at the end of every movie, at the end credits, they have like a 3-second clip of like one of the more like ridiculous moments of the movie. This whole Dennis Quaid's reaction to the dead body is like,
also,
I'm
the
sure
fact
Dennis...
that all that stuff's, like, crawling out of his mouth.
And, oh, yeah.
Like, I'm sure, right? Like, just right then.
This,
like...
I can tell you as a kid when I saw this, all of this just, like, was seared into my memory.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
It worked. Like, yeah. The dead body floating up scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And then the girl getting her face pressed right into it. Like, that's exactly the last thing. Like,
oh, where she like, has to, like, make out with the dead body.
It's,
like,
it's,
yeah.
It's so horrible, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And then we get it to see it again. We see the dead body on the sheet. And then we get her. Whose reaction is worse, his or hers?
Like, worse.
Where he like, dry heaves, and then she has her, like, both hands up. OMG.
Yeah. Well, no, you know, what she's doing is she's like, that's how big the bite is.
I figured that out, like, last night watching it, but like, does it come across as that in the
moment? It did to me when I first saw it.
I think what is missing in this whole shot, because it's framed the wrong way, is that we miss her putting her, she has her hands on the body,
mm-hmm.
and then she raises it up. I think she was going for something that doesn't show in the film.
Well,
back to inept directing.
Yeah, I got what they were doing, but it could be a scene. Two other Jaws movies. So,
yeah.
I know bite radius comes in yep. at some point.
What's this bite radius crap?
Yeah. Go stick your head in there.
So they run off to the underwater.
Neptune's
restaurant.
Diner.
The Enchantment Under the Sea Dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Enchantment Under the Sea Diner.
Yeah. And, yeah, Louis Gossett is, shocker, having more drinks.
Yep.
He makes a shark segregation joke. Yikes. Yikes. Whew. And,
thanks,
yeah.
Thanks, Louis.
Yeah, I was like, whew, that does not age well. And it's like, too soon. We realize that it's the baby shark that they have caught.
Yep.
And I'd like to point out, baby sharks are the size of salmon.
Well, I don't think they think it's a baby. Like,
but they're insinuating that it was in the enclosure. So, like, the mom had it in the enclosure.
That's where this movie make. I mean,
and then
this movie doesn't make sense in a lot of places.
Yeah, and then it's like, and the mom is in the enclosure. They're all in the enclosure.
I thought it was just at the beginning of the movie, the very opening scene with Leah Thompson and the water skiing is showing a shark got in.
It does.
And I think what they're saying is they were out, both sharks were out in the open ocean, and in that moment, both got in, is what I thought it was. Now it's trying to suggest in hindsight.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It seemed like only one shark got in.
Right.
But somehow there were two.
All of that could have been handled so much better. The one shark, two shark
thing. It's really weird. So, yeah, and also, as I said before, sharks don't mother their young, so that's, yeah, like, not a thing either.
Nope.
So,
aren't babe sharks born, like, pretty much?
Great whites are born alive. They're live birth,
and they're more or less
they're ready.
Fully functioning.
They're ready to
killers.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, they're about the size of salmon, but they're,
right,
they're great whites the size of salmon. So, right, a little bit more.
So the next scene.
So then we get Dennis Quaid running on cocaine.
Oh,
for a while.
Are you into the? Are we still in the restaurant scene, or are we after that?
Oh, yeah. Because doesn't it cut away? Or no? Does the shark?
Run,
the shark shows up, right?
They run from the dead body to the restaurant where they explain to Lou Gossett Jr. that they have a 35-foot shark.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Gossett Jr. had made the joke about the bubbles.
Yes.
Which makes no sense because you're just about, like, you haven't even seen them yet, but then you see a POV go through some bubbles, and then you see Dennis Quaid point at the, yeah, the shark comes through a wall of bubbles, apparently.
Which they are supposed to not like.
Right. Well, so that's a plot point that'll come up later, right? Bubbles? No.
No.
It's
said and then immediately dispelled.
Yes.
Yeah. Almost instantly.
So you get all your characters.
Also, it's made in jest of segregating blacks from whites. Let's just not forget about that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes. Anywho.
So it makes the fact that we have a roaring shark seem slightly less offensive, right?
They don't have vocal cords. It's not a thing. This is where it's very egregious in this film.
Like, I don't want to spoil Jaws 4 for you.
Oh, God.
But if you think roaring sharks are bad.
Oh, God.
Dot, dot, dot.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
So
we get this moment where the shark basically just presents itself and then just carries on.
And then just carries on.
Hey, yeah. Main characters.
It's later. Like, hey, were you guys talking about me?
My ears were burning. Well, see you later.
Well, see you later. Yep. Catch
now,
you on the
now,
flip.
Now we get coked out Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, we get, I just have Dennis Quaid runs on cocaine.
Right. And we get a couple of our best shots in the movie, which is the shark fin breaking the surface a few times.
Yeah.
Bunch of great shots. So this is the, right now, this from here to the end of the movie should be so much better. We should finally get some payoff. Like, okay, we've got a 35-foot shark in SeaWorld. What are you going to do about it, movie? The answer is
nothing. This is where, you know, they got three barrels on him and he starts attacking the boat.
Right.
You know, this is the same moment.
Right.
And
we know where our characters are. We know where the shark is.
Yeah.
Let's have it pay off. And it's.
So I have a couple notes here. Fat guys are jerks. Yeah. That seems to be an ongoing theme in all of these movies we're talking about.
Yeah.
There's this weird mud hole gag. Like these people landing.
Throwing in the mud hole.
Throwing the mud hole. And it just made me think of Yoda.
Oh, mud hole. See where this is.
My home this is. Yeah. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But it just made me think of that. And I giggled thinking about a better movie. So then the shark proceeds to eat zero people for like 10 minutes.
Yes, that's my whole...
What is going on? What are we doing?
Yes, this is all the like stupidity that has preceded this moment. I'm kind of ready to forgive it all if from here to the end of the movie...
Let's get some carnage,
man. We get some
man.
Shark carnage. And we get that great shot of the shark fin breaking the surface. The giant crowd
Which
of thousands.
Which I think looks very plastic.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But the crowd of thousands who have just seen a great white fin break the surface right in front of them mostly don't notice, don't care.
Yeah.
Until Dennis Quaid...
He starts screaming like a maniac.
And until the boat... Until the water skiers come hurling into the shore.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, basically, I don't think we need to go in detail. Basically, nobody gets eaten for like 10 minutes, and they all should get eaten. Like, so all of them.
The shark fin pops up right behind the water skiers, literally like 6 inches behind them. They all wipe out. And what does the shark do with 15 shark fins in front of him?
You know what's funny is this is probably the most, it's not what we want in the film right now, mm-hmm. but this is probably the most accurate depiction of an actual shark.
What would a shark do if 15 water skiers fell down right in front of him?
Probably nothing.
Probably nothing. But yeah, like, think, isn't how stupid, like, the shark is literally in pursuit of these water skiers, gets exactly what he wants.
And does nothing.
And does nothing except, like, roar from 20 feet below as they pull up one. And then the shark then proceeds along in a shot that looks like a POV shot to hit the bumper boat. But as it turns out, they cut to the wide angle. It's just the fat guy knocking them over again. The shark is, in fact, 20 some odd feet away still.
Yeah, which is, yeah.
And what does the shark do with another easy meal presented right in front of him? It's kind of grazes.
He grazes her with a tooth, maybe?
With a tooth, yeah. Slices are open. Really, this whole movie, this shark, he's just scared. And he only eats people that are, like, in his way.
Yeah.
Why are you here? I got to go. I want to get through. I'm trying to get out. I'm trapped in SeaWorld. I'm trying to get out.
Maybe that's it. Boy, that's not apparent, though.
That's why he kills the guy at the beginning. He's trying to get out of SeaWorld.
Yeah.
She's trying to get out of SeaWorld.
Yeah. Boy, that's another thing. They can't tell what sex the shark is. That changes so often. They very much establish that it's a mother,
yeah,
and a girl,
yeah,
and they refer to it as he,
yeah,
numerous times in this film.
The shark knocks there's that like dock, swimming dock,
yeah,
it knocks that down, and does.
I didn't even get how that does. How, the shark do that, or do they do that, like?
Well, the shark fin disappears under the water, and then that little raft.
And it all breaks?
It tugs, and then you cut to an underwater shot where it's falling apart and people are falling through it. People get annihilated by the wood.
The wood. A lot of blood from the wood.
And the shark does?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I don't even think they show the shark after that. You then cut to them, Sean and Leah.
Yeah, so Leah Johnson, does she survive? Movie don't care. Yep.
Yeah. Sean Brody. Going to see him again?
Nope.
Not till Jaws 4 anyway.
Oh, really? Same actor?
Oh, sorry. Did I spoil that? No. I'll just leave it. I'll just say there's Brody's in. I mean, you know Lorraine Gary's in Jaws 4.
I do know that.
So there's Brody's in Jaws 4.
So then we get people in tunnels running away from nothing.
Oh, yeah.
This movie's so lazy. They didn't even finish the special effects here.
Daddy, look at the fish.
Yeah.
Scream. No shark. Well, there's that weird shot right after it.
Oh, there's the reverse shot of it coming.
Where the shark is like.
But there's no, it's literally just, you can just see it. It's just blue screen. It's just not even.
It's a blue screen like robo shark where it's just, it's not even moving. It looks like a freaking airplane with a tail. Like doing this.
Well, yeah, but the thing where they're running, when they're in the tunnel, the camera's in the tunnel mm-hmm. shooting them, you're supposed to be seeing a shark there.
Yeah.
And there's no shark.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't even finish the effects on this movie, people. Like, right. That's how bad this is.
Do you know there's a fan edit of this movie where somebody like CG'd in a bunch of shark?
Cool.
I haven't seen it.
Good for them. There's a... There's a lady in this group that gets caught, and I swear to God, it's Cloris Leachman.
Yeah. This,
I don't know why she would be here.
I know who you're talking about, and you're right.
And very God, much so. It looks like her. It's the right age, everything. Like, I just don't, it's crazy to me. Anyway,
we keep talking about this
movie. I could not confirm or deny the... I tried on the internet to look.
I'm going to deny it's not Cloris Leachman.
God, it looks like her, though. And they even do some shots, like, specifically on that woman when they're like, getting let out. And they're like, look, we got Cloris Leachman. Anyway.
I love the idea that, on paper, I love this idea that you have a shark stuck, and then it almost becomes this, like, Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno disaster. It's like a hybrid of shark and disaster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I love the idea of like, there's like there are people trapped underwater that are going to drown.
These are the kids. These are the kids in the T-Rex pen.
Yeah.
Right.
There's stakes that isn't like in every shark movie. In Jaws, you could just argue like, just get out of the water, cut off its food supply, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
But if you change the stakes where it's basically like the shark is stuck and there's people stuck, like that all makes sense. Like it's a good core story in this movie.
Yeah.
It's just solely in the execution.
Yeah. So later the movie,
Where are we here?
Oh yeah. Filtration pipe.
Yes.
This is a garbage plot device.
Getting Fitzroyce in the pipe?
Well, no. Just it in general is garbage. It's just bad. Telling me that this giant 35-foot shark has just been hanging out in the pipe. One, sharks got to keep swimming.
Oh, like that's where it's been hiding out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it backs out of the pipe when they let it out. Also not a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just general knowledge of sharks. Like, this is just...
Yeah. From here, yeah, this...
They have to keep swimming and they can't swim backwards. Those are just very normal things that we know about sharks, right?
Yeah.
And here's a plot device completely going against any of that.
But I
feel like... Here's another thing. I feel like they're trying to... They keep talking about how much water is being pumped through these... pumps,
mm-hmm.
like 1 million gallons an hour or something.
Right.
Is that them trying to go, oh, well, there's water constantly flowing through these
pipes. Yeah. So he can just sit there.
And it can just sit there. And that's what keeps, she can just sit there. And it that's what would keep it alive. I feel like it's trying to kind of do that and doesn't do that at all. Like it doesn't connect those things.
There's a fine line between not pandering to your audience and trusting your audience to figure it out and just lazy filmmaking. Like this can sit here and figure this out, but the movie,
this is the third thing you just said.
I've been sort of in defense of this movie, but I will just throw out from here to the end. There's zero
redeeming.
There's no defending this movie from here to the end. Even the focus is bad. Like,
yeah, later. So the movie, and then later in the movie, speaking of shark backing out of things, it doesn't even follow its own freaking rules that the shark can back out of things.
Oh.
Because then it gets stuck in the control room later, and it can't back out.
Does it want to not back out? Maybe it wants to stay there.
Why? To what purpose?
Yes. Why at that moment? There's really not much to talk about between here and the end of the movie. Other than, say, we have the big Fitzroyce and what's-his-name go down there.
We do. They have a real romance going on in this scene.
Yeah, and even when at the end of it, when what's-his-name finds out that Fitzroyce is dead, it's almost like he's mourning the loss of his spouse.
Yeah.
He's pretty torn up about
it. Yeah, I mean, it was like, whoa, these guys were maybe a little closer than they thought they were.
And this is the scene, this is the most shark you get.
Not that there's
movie.
Anything wrong with that.
No, not at all. It just feels, gets kind of caught me off guard in this movie, in the context.
It does.
Of
there's a little homoeroticism here.
This is the most shark you get in this movie, in this scene too. They, when they're banging on their flashlight, trying to attract the shark.
Yeah. So
you get kind of, honestly, some cool shots of the shark.
Yeah. Right before this, they set it up that he's like, you shouldn't be filming and doing the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the other thing is.
Closing the gate?
Gate?
I don't know. Well, his only job is to be the bait and get it in the
So they're, but they're,
tunnel.
They're setting it up here.
Right.
That filming this will be his comeuppance. Right?
Yes. Yep.
You can't do both the things.
Right.
And then his comeuppance is this nylon lifeline that just breaks for no reason.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not even following your own setups.
Pretty
like
poorly thought out plan.
Also, they're like,
again,
they even have dialogue from like Louis Gossett's like nephew or whatever. And he's like, oh, what they're doing here is they're testing the lifeline to make sure it holds. And I was like, yeah, cool. Why are you saying that? And then later I was like, oh, I see why he said that. So it can just break randomly and unexpectedly.
Because it sure would be bad if it didn't hold.
Yeah. Because it's their lifeline.
I mentioned these are the shots in the movie where the shark looks good. It's these rear shots where the shark is swimming away from camera.
It's so slow.
It's so slow. It's undermined by how slow it is. But the shark is convincing. I think that it's a good-looking shark.
If it was had slightly faster pace than like a slug.
Yeah.
Like, it's so slow.
Well, okay, so this is going back to my theory that the shark doesn't want to bother anybody. He's just trapped in SeaWorld, and the only time anybody gets hurt is when they're in his way or he's panicking.
Mm-hmm.
This shark is doing very little to, like, it just got stuck. It wants out. That's all it wants to do.
I just have shark is bad and slow.
Yes. These are true things. It is very bad and slow. And roaring underwater.
And then we get the shot inside of the mouth. This is just dumb. It's just dumb. It's dumb.
Did your wife watch this movie with you?
She did not.
Oh, okay.
We couldn't make it work.
I just want to know. All
I have shown her.
I wanted to be a fly on the wall of you watching this movie.
I showed her the shark blowing up.
That's a perfect snapshot of how terrible this movie is.
And I showed her the shark breaking the glass. And I go, this is what this movie is. Mm. Those two shots. I go, it is bad. It is lazy and bad.
Yeah.
And
she hadn't seen it before either? Has she seen Jaws 4?
She has not.
We'll get to that at the end of this.
She did watch Jaws 2 with me, and she did not mind it. She had the similar reaction that I did.
Yeah.
We both kind of checked out at the helicopter. So.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, shot inside the mouth. It's just stupid.
I've always appreciated the sound design in the
It's very crunchy. I do like that. But it's like it's crunchy, but like how is it crunching him? It's not using its...
I know, right? It's not his teeth.
His teeth.
It's okay, so again, here's the shark. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. Fitzroy's just literally climbed inside the mouth because he wanted to be eaten, and the shark was trying to spit him out.
So stupid.
The shark doesn't want to hurt anybody. He's just looking for a way out. That's why he crashes through the glass at the end. He's like, well, geez, I can't get out. Maybe this is a way out.
So then, my next thing. So then they notice it starts swishing its tail back and forth, and they notice that they have a camera right on the lock. I don't know how they have a camera on that. but they have a camera right on the lock, and they see it starting to bend it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they turn the pumps back on?
No.
Because it wasn't able to do that with the pump on.
Right.
Right?
Wasn't there a whole thing with...
My note is, maybe turn the pump back on. God, I hate this movie.
Wasn't there an earlier comment where he's like, well, turn on number one and turn on number two? I don't remember.
Well, no, he's worried that he's going to burn it out.
Okay.
Having this big 35-foot shark in there.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, maybe your motor gets burnt out, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Anyway,
bad movie. Go lay
down. So, yeah, she goes out. He's like, now he's an underwater welder because apparently no one else.
Yep.
The head of engineering has to go do the welding. Yep. That would never happen. Anyway, and then...
The shark meanders.
The shark gets over there. She's over there because he's got to have eyes in the back of his head. And then she just sits there and watches him weld the entire time, which she's going to have really bad...
And they're managed to outrun the shark. Even without the help of the dolphins, they
she doesn't have the, she doesn't have the protective eyewear either, so I don't know why she's watching him weld. She's gonna have like blistered corneas, you know. Anyway, they get away from the shark. They go into their little tube to get into the control room. Anyway, and then there's this garden spigot that they turn.
Oh, the
and it goes rink a rink a rink. No. Oh. Like it's literally the size of my outdoor garden spigot, and it just whoosh, all the water goes away.
I have a feeling that's not how that works.
I don't think so. And I was like, that's just laughable. Like, that's just bad. And this is being directed by a guy who was a production designer. So he's like, that passes muster. Thanks. So then all the people get let out.
And then you unceremoniously just cut to the finale of the movie. Finale of the movie.
Yeah. So
did you catch? So
all the people get let out. And then there's this guy with a shirt on that says, let a gargoyle sit on your face.
What?
Yeah. There's a guy wearing a shirt that says.
In the people who escape the tunnel?
Yeah.
He just says that line?
No. It's on his shirt. His shirt says, and I quote, let a gargoyle sit on your face.
I have it up. Oh, I see it now. Let a gargoyle sit on your, and I can't see the rest of it, but.
It says face. Trust me.
That, what? Did you Google that?
I didn't. I have no idea. And then we get a lot of shots of Cloris Leachman.
All right. I'm going to quick Google that. Let a gargoyle.
Careful.
Sit. Yeah. This could go anyway, folks. Let's see. Let a gargoyle. I saw someone with a. Okay. I saw someone with a shirt that said, let a gargoyle sit on your face. What does this mean? It looks like at one point there was a link to buy this shirt. Which is dead now. I found a website that mentions it, and it says, he's with the group trapped inside the C-Lab tunnels, and his shirt just says, let a gargoyle sit on your face. I don't know what the F that means. I did a quick Google search and found there were reproductions of that shirt for sale, but no explanation. I don't think I want an explanation. I give Jaws 3 one star out of 5. That was the end. This guy, internet blogger.
That's the best review ever.
Yeah.
At some point in this movie, there's a guy with a shirt that says, let a gargoyle sit on your face.
Oh, man.
1 out of 5 stars.
It looks like they talk about it on How Did This Get Made? Or if someone mentioned it on. So now I'm on the Earwolf website for How Did This Get Made.
They do not mention it on.
Okay. Because I have not listened to that episode yet. Okay. So some commenter on the How Did This Get Made website.
Most of that podcast is not them talking about Jaws.
Oh, there's episodes like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just someone commented and posted a screenshot of it and said, does anyone else catch the shirt where a tourist is wearing let a gargoyle sit on your face? We saw it. Me and my girlfriend saw it, and we were very confused. What does it mean? Is this guy supposed to be the gargoyle? And most importantly, there's no way that costume department gave him that shirt. So how did no one make him take it off? Well, don't we now have to,
so,
as podcasters for Jaws, shouldn't we own this shirt? Shouldn't this be like the deepest cut you can wear in reference to Jaws?
I would think so. So here's my point. Let a gargoyle sit on your face. This is obviously just this man's shirt that he wore to set. And then for that entire day of filming that probably happened with probably a second unit.
Reinforces your lazy filmmaking.
Well, like, it's
no one's paying
attention.
Here's
a guy that was the frickin' production designer of Jaws and Jaws 2, did second unit stuff on Jaws 2. And all the production design stuff is just kind of going to the wayside. Like, no one's checking any of this stuff.
We need to reach out to Joe Alves. We need to get him to break his silence on Jaws 3. We need a long interview.
That would be cool.
If he dares subject himself to us.
I have a lot of questions.
So many questions.
Yeah. So let's get to it. I think the worst effect ever put to film.
The shark coming through the glass.
The all of a sudden miniature shark.
Yep.
Because we've been shown this window
before. It looks nothing like the shark in the rest of the movie, too.
You know, no, it's a smaller shark.
Mm-hmm.
It does not move. It is like a torpedo. And then when it does break the millimeter thin glass.
Yes.
Which it's underwater glass. I mean, it would have to be really thick glass.
And it's breaking like it's underwater. It's breaking like a window in a storefront.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It's like you're not even trying. It's like, it's just inept. It's
so bad. I will point out one redeeming quality of this scene. The effect of the water filling the room. You get the two stunt actors who get pummeled with water.
Oh, it's very good. And I watched the HBO behind the scenes thing that he have on Plex.
Oh, I didn't even watch that.
Oh, it's like this 9-minute thing about that scene.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and how they were going to have Lewis Gossett and the gal like actually do it themselves and then realized it was way too dangerous.
It looks like they got hurt.
And actually lost an entire day of filming because they couldn't put the real actors in the shot and had to like go reconstruct it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
It's a very worthwhile 9 minutes into the...
I got to watch it.
The now. Making of this.
I think it's on YouTube.
At least
too.
This one scene, yeah.
If you just, Sharks Don't Die.
No.
Is that a different one?
That's like an hour long documentary on the making of.
Is that Shaw's of the 3. Time or is that a.
But that was one that was put out on TV.
Way back when. When they did
this. This was a tie in with HBO. It's only about 9 minutes long.
Okay.
They keep referring to the money shot.
Ew.
Yeah.
You keep on using that word.
Yeah.
I do not think it means what you think it means.
Yeah, I just was like, I don't think they're using that correctly. Anyway. And then just when I thought this movie couldn't get any more egregiously lazy.
Okay.
Then it shows up and we see... the grenade being held by Crocodile Dundee.
He's just stuck in the shark's gullet.
Yeah, it has not ate him. It is just, he's just sitting there in the mouth. And that's where I went, fuck you, Jaws 3. Fuck you very much. Fuck you.
He is the human...
not only that, somehow
pressurized tank.
The grenade is like glued to his hand. Is that what I'm supposed to believe? Like
when he got chomped up by the shark, his muscles just spasmed, and it's not like it's stuck to it. He's literally has to hold it,
right?
Like his fingers have to be in permanent like atrophied around the grenade,
like rigor mortis, right?
Yes, rigor mortis,
which doesn't set in that quickly.
No.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, in a couple shots, you, like, get a clear shot of his face, and he's just kind of, like, the look on his face is perfect, where he's just like, can you believe I'm stuck in this shark's mouth?
This is just beyond the pale. It's just, yes. It's so bad. Then, the other thing is, if you blow up a grenade in water, mm-hmm. everything dies.
Within a pretty close, like, they're... Well, they try to show them like hiding, taking cover.
It does not matter because you can take cover. That would survive you from any sort of fragments, but the concussive blast, it wouldn't.
It displaces the water. I just hit my microphone. Yeah. It displaces water. Like that water has to go somewhere.
Well, it's the shock wave though. Yes. It's not the displace. Well, now I just hit my thing. We're waving our hands around crazily. It's not the. It's the shockwave that kills you.
Yeah.
It's not the water displacing or even the fragments. It's actually the shockwave of, because we're mostly water.
Yeah.
And that shockwave travels through us the same way it's traveling through the water. And it right. literally, all the little tiny bubbles that are inside your body, they all pop.
Yeah.
And you just, it's just massive hemorrhaging.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if you're behind something. It doesn't matter because it affects all the water equally.
And so, at the bare minimum, it would have knocked them out and they would have drowned.
Yeah. Right. So there's that. I mean, bare minimum.
Right.
But the kind of explosion we're looking at, it blows up a 35-foot shark.
And they're fine.
And they're totally fine.
Yeah.
They are 10 feet away from it.
Yeah.
When it blows up. Yeah. They're dead. There's no way. The concussiveness just of the shockwave would...
And they swim to the surface, and do we care about any of the other characters in this movie? Where's Sean Brody? Where's Lou Gossett Jr.? Nope, don't care. Movie just ends.
No, but then, probably even worse than the shark breaking the glass, we get the blow up, and then the jaws come up and, like, freeze frame. What is going on?
Ugh.
There were numerous people in a room went, yep.
Yep. Send it out.
Send it out. Print it.
Wait, you shipping it like that?
Yep. Yep. It's going out that way.
Now, did you catch?
Hey, Bob, I said it was going out that way and they bought it.
Yeah. Hey, you know how we did that test effect last night as a joke for the blooper reel?
Yeah.
It's going out like
that. It's going out like that. I thought they'd say no, but they just went out like that.
Now,
it's so bad. Jeremy, it's so bad.
So bad. Now, I actually, just when I thought this movie couldn't get any worse, I caught something last night that I had never caught before. And that is the final shot of this movie. Do you realize the movie ends on a freeze frame of Bess Armstrong going like this as the dolphins jump up beside her?
Yes, I realized that.
I never saw until last night, and maybe this is the first time I've ever seen this movie in widescreen, and this is why, that the dolphins are superimposed. Like, they aren't there. Like, that's an effect shot.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that until last night. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
it's so bad.
It's like a freaking psychedelic.
But this is like the orca breaching. It's like mirror image of the same dolphin on each side, and that's what we end the film with. And it's like, what are you guys doing?
It's like,
it doesn't make any sense.
Ugh.
Oh God, it's so bad.
Like, I
hate this so much.
And we have one more Jaws sequel left.
Ugh.
So, okay. Do we need to say anything else about Jaws 3?
I don't like it. Don't watch it.
One thing we did skip is that Carl Gottlieb is also a credited screenwriter on this.
Also,
I think he did a little punching up of dialogue and not much else.
Yeah, I think that really shows in like their kind of hangout scenes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that's good.
Okay.
So honestly, if this was 2 hours of them at that bar, that would have been a better movie.
Yeah.
Than the movie we get.
I will say, just in wrapping up my take on this movie, watching it last night, it moves along fast. It's barely over an hour and a half.
By the way, when I do my notes, I watch these at double speed. I put them in VLC and then ramp it up to times two.
Yeah.
And I got to say, this film is very watchable at double speed.
I was
when it takes 45 minutes to get through this.
Yeah.
Less than that. It's pretty great.
Yeah. I, even at real time speed, what I was going to say is I watched this last night. I enjoyed it. I had fun watching this movie despite all of its horribleness.
By the way, I go into these with a wide open mind.
Okay.
I want the film to win me over. And by the end, I was like, fuck you, movie.
Like, this movie wins me over for sheer incompetence.
This isn't like, there's like Ed Wood incompetence.
Yes, exactly.
But these are
Hollywood.
Everybody on an Ed Wood movie, they were trying their hardest and just were failing. And they were trying to make a good movie.
Yes.
These are people that can make a good movie and just know that, you know what, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We're going to come out in August. We're going to make our money, and then we're going to go away, and no one will ever have to watch this again.
It's so bad.
Well, now it's 2019, and I just had to watch it, so fuck you guys.
You have your work cut out for you on the bleeps.
Yeah, going to be a lot of bleeps. I knew that coming in, too. I'm like, I'm going to say fuck you movie a whole bunch, because I kind of, because fuck you, Jaws 3.
You came to your Jaws podcast to get our thoughts on Jaws 3. Well, you got them.
Yeah.
I had fun, but I agree. But I simultaneously agree with Tyson.
I want this movie to be good. I do.
So
it's just not. It's so bad. It's so inept and just poorly done and just bad decisions made all around. And well, you guys have listened to us for the last 2 hours. Yeah. So
to follow up Jaws 3, Tyson,
yes.
We need a chaser.
Okay.
We cannot go into Jaws 4 after Jaws
3. Oh, no. We got to wash this out of our mouths.
Yes, and I have just the ticket.
Okay. What is our digestif?
You just went to a restaurant thinking you were going to get a pretty decent burger, but you got a shit sandwich.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to go out for a better meal after that. What you're going to do is order some good dessert right off the menu. And you're not expecting, already know you're in a low-class joint, but you want a dessert that's, you're like, you want something you know they're not going to screw up.
Okay.
And so that's why I suggest that we...
What is my creme brulee for this?
Your creme brulee...
for a Jaws 3.
...is the 1980 classic, Louis Teague directed, and the late, great Robert Forrester starring...
Oh, yeah, rip, buddy.
Alligator.
Oh, Alligator. All right.
I think we should... Now, part of me wanted to go through all of this season 2 of Real Jaws Minute chronologically, which meant we should have watched Alligator after Jaws 2.
Yeah.
But no, I think we have to alternate our, we can't go from Piranha to Alligator. They're a little too similar.
Oh, okay.
So that's why we have to go to Alligator next.
I can't remember. What else do we have on the docket?
Well, we promised to our viewers, Alligator was never promised. It was, I forgot about it. But I really want to watch it.
Sure.
I want you to watch it.
Cool.
We have.
That's Jaws. Another John Sayles script, I believe.
It is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is a John Sayles.
See, I know something.
John Sayles joint.
Yeah.
So you kind of know what you're in for. So Alligator. And then we also have, obviously, Jaws the Revenge to watch. We promised Jurassic Park.
Yes.
To our listeners.
Which I think is a spiritual kind of remake.
And we promised commentaries. We didn't say of what movies, but obvious choice would be Jaws.
Yeah.
I think in season 2, we can't have a season 2 of Jaws without Jaws.
Well, we're going to have to, that might be the capper.
Yeah. So we could that'd be a good capper.
Yeah.
In the end, we're still working on some potential guests. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think next up is Alligator.
Cool.
So, we can talk about it when we get to that episode, but it's been a few years since I've seen it, but I do know that I really like it.
I've never seen it, much like literally every movie we're watching. And
even if it's terrible, it has Robert Forrester in it. So,
well, I love him. And so I'm excited.
So that's what's up next, folks.
Cool. So
thanks for listening, and make sure you like and subscribe to this podcast. Check us out on Facebook. Look for the Real Jaws Minute group. And if you're so inclined, we love doing this for free, but if you want to throw a couple bucks at us, look at the description of this episode and you can follow a PayPal linky to give us a couple bucks and pay for this delightful beer we always drink while we record.
Yeah. You can catch us next time right here on the Real Jaws Minute.
Bye.
Bye.